For our scripture reading tonight, will you turn with me to John chapter 6, and we'll read beginning with verse 5, John 6 and verse 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, When shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him or test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Seven times over in John's gospel, Lord Jesus says, I am. I am the bread of life. This is the first of the seven. I am the bread of life. In John 8, he says, I am the light of the world. In John 10, he says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. In John 10 again, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. In John chapter 11, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he have died, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. In John chapter 14, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And finally, in John chapter 15, he says, I am the true vine. And speaking to the disciples, he said, Ye are the branches. He begins with food and ends with fruit. He begins with our receiving Christ, and he ends with Christ being seen in us. I am the fruit. I am the true vine, ye are the branches. Apart from me, ye can do nothing. What a wonderful salvation God has provided in his Son. It is something that the Lord Jesus applies exclusively to himself. He doesn't say, I am a bread of life. He says, I am absolutely indispensable. I am the bread of life. There is no food. There is no one outside of Christ that can meet the needs of the human soul. He satisfies, the Bible says, the longing soul. I am the bread of life. 7 different expressions are used in this same chapter concerning him as the bread. He says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. He says, I am the true bread. He says, I am the bread of God. The bread, he says, is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. He says, I'm the bread. This one is the central one of the miracles that the Lord Jesus performed in John's Gospel. We have mentioned previously that there are seven sign miracles of our Lord Jesus that are given in John's Gospel. And the central one, the one on which all the others depend, is this one, where he took those five loaves and two fishes and used them to feed the multitude. It's the only one of the miracles that our Lord Jesus performed that is recorded in each of the four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all call attention to the fact how the Lord Jesus took these five loaves and two small fishes and used them to feed the starving multitude. Its importance can be gauged by the fact that this illustrates to us the way that the Lord meets the needs of the starving multitudes. Men are starving without Christ. We have the bread of life, and it has been committed to us. And just as this is recorded in each of the four Gospels, so is recorded in each of the four Gospels the Great Commission which the Lord Jesus gave to his disciples. In Matthew he says, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. In Mark's Gospel, he says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What a wonderful message that is that we have. God has committed to us. We can go to any man and every man and say, God is not willing that any should perish, but God will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. There's no one save those who exclude themselves that are outside the pale of God's grace. God so loved the world, the scripture says, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. What a message. What a message. And think of the wonderful fact that God has been pleased to commit this message to sinners saved by the matchless grace of God. He has not given it to angels, he has given it to men. The story is told years ago about a man who had a dream. And in his dream, he saw two signs in front of two church buildings. One sign said, the Apostle Peter will preach here tonight, and tonight only at 7:30. Then he saw another sign, and this sign said, the angel Gabriel will preach here tonight, and tonight only at 7:30. And in his dream, he was in a little bit of a quandary. He couldn't hear both men. They were speaking at the same time. He didn't have any tape recorders. Who was he going to listen to? And in his dream, he saw a man coming to him, and he said to him, he says, I guess you're wondering about these two signs. Who should you go to hear to preach tonight? Peter or Gabriel? He said, well, yes, I was wondering what in the world I should do. He said, well, I can tell you. He says, my name is Cornelius. And I had a vision from the Lord, and he said, call for Peter, and he shall tell thee words whereby thou shalt be saved. Though angels may with rapture see how mercy flows in Jesus' blood, it is not theirs to prove as we the cleansing virtue of that blood. When we sing redemption's story, they will fold their wings, for angels never felt the joy that God's salvation brings. God has commissioned redeemed men and women, boys and girls, to share the gospel with others. What a message. It says, and Jesus saw this great company come unto him. And I'm sure he not only saw that great company in front of him, he saw the multitudes of men down the ages of time would come to him. Vast multitudes. And he recognized that they were hungry. They had been with him without food, fasting. And so to test his disciples, he said, why, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? There's a hunger problem. But how are we going to meet it? The scripture says he himself knew what he would do. I am the bread of life. They didn't realize it then. Later on in this chapter, he tells them that. I am the bread of life. He which eateth of me shall never hunger and never thirst. And the wonderful thing is this, that God hath put into his living word, the word of God, the scriptures, because the Bible says it lives and abides forever, he has put into that the message that can bless men. I like that verse in Hebrews that says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord? God's salvation is spoken, yes. Began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by them that heard him. Paul, writing to the Romans, says, the gospel, I'm not ashamed of it, he says, because it's the message. It's the power of God unto salvation of everyone that believes it. We have a message placed at our disposal that can give men life and salvation. It's good to everyone that believes, not to everyone that worketh, or joins the church, or tries, or turns over a new leaf. The apostle says, through this man, I want you to know, there is preached unto you. Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. Just as God in creation spoke, it says, and it was so. He called this world out of nothing. He spake, and it was so. So in new creation, he speaks, and it's so. We're born again, not of corruptible seed, says the word of God, but by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Philip answered the Lord, and he said, Lord, he says, we've got 200 pennies, not little pennies like we think of it. It was a silver coin. And it was the wages of a man for a day in that day. And he says, we've got 200 pennies, but what are they among so many? Everyone, he said, could take a little, but our God is not a God of littleness. God supplies in abundance. We only have to look at creation. Somebody has said, any fool can count, that is, if he can count, the number of acorns on an oak tree, but there isn't a man living that can count the number of trees in a single acorn. Who knows what lies reverence? Our God is a God of abundance. The sea is filled with all kinds of variety. You cannot take a spoon and dig it into the earth, anywhere on the face of the earth, without finding multitudes of living creatures in it. I was reading the other day that there are as many living creatures on our bodies, no matter how hard you scrub and wash, as there are people in the world. So if you feel like scratching, you probably got some reason to scratch. This world is a world of abundance, of supply. They went to the moon, and they didn't find a single living thing on it. You can't go anywhere on earth, pick up a spoonful of water, or a spoonful of dirt, without their finding living creatures in it. The world of abundance. Andrew said, there's a lad here. Think of it, over 5,000 people, and not one person had anything to meet anybody's needs. They were hungry, they were so intent on hearing what Christ had to say, they had forgot to bring any food at all, and only this little fellow, little boy, that's what it says, there is a little lad here, that's what the word really says. It's just a little fellow, I don't know how old he was, but he's got 5 little buns, and 2 small fishes. Andrew could count 5 and 2, he said. But he didn't know how to multiply. But he brought those 5 loaves and those 2 little fishes. The one who did know how to multiply. I remember years ago when they used to have these Coke bottles. You remember the kind when they had bottles instead of cans? And everybody remember that far back? We'd go over to the beach. And somebody would say, where's the bottle opener? About 20 or 30 young people over there, you know, they're going to the beach to have a good time. And nobody's got a bottle opener. And then somebody has the audacity to say, I've got 3 of them home in the drawer. Well, 3 of them home in the drawer isn't doing anybody any good here. There is a lad here. God delights to take what is available and use it. He isn't looking for ability. He is looking for availability. That we're available to him. There's a lad here. He didn't have anything much to offer. This spring, I was out in Colorado at a conference. And a lady that I knew from many years ago, she told me an interesting story about a little boy that she knew. This little boy was about 9 years of age, and she was about 10 at the time. And she said, this little boy asked her this question. He didn't even think he was witnessed. He said, are you saved? Are you saved? That's all he asked. He wasn't even thinking that he was doing any witnessing at all. He just asked this lady, guess he was saved. He said, are you saved? She was about 10 years of age. She's now about 73 years of age. And she told me this. From the day that boy asked that question till the day I got saved, that question never got out of my mind. It doesn't have to be much to have great results. Little is much when God is in it. Yesterday I had a call from our daughter Jenny, many of you know her. She's living now in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and I guess the reason, or part of the reason she called yesterday is was because yesterday happened to be 5 years from the day that David, our son, went to be with the Lord. And she chatted about various things, but one of the things that she told me I thought was interesting. She said, the night before, she's a nurse, and she works about 3 nights a week. She works at night in order she could be with the children during the day. But she was talking to a man, 53 years of age, dying of terminal cancer. And she told him about her brother, because it was fresh in her mind. She said, 2 days before my brother died, he said, I don't want to die. She says, I'd like to live and see my little child. The child was born 2 days after he died. I'd like to see my little child. But he says, I'm ready to die. And then he began to tell the doctor how that he trusted Christ as his Savior as a young boy, and he was prepared to die. Not wanting to die. The Irishman said if he knew where he was going to die, he wouldn't go there. Most of us are not so eager about dying. Even if we are prepared to die, we just as well put it off a little longer. And then she said to that man, he knew he was dying of terminal cancer. She said to him, would you like me to read this little book to you? And he didn't want to read the book to her. But as she related her experience with her brother, she asked him if he would like to pray with him, and she prayed with this man. Just a little witness. Only God knows what will happen. But God gives us all opportunities just like that. Days in and days out. And how often many of us have felt guilty. We have the bread of life. And here's the person starving to death. And we just talk about everything under the sun. Let us the thing that is most vital of all, the bread of life. Andrew was perplexed. He says, what are these 5 loaves and 2 fishes among so many. So few, he said, and so many. But the Lord had a plan. He knew what he was going to do. He said, make the men sit down. And that's what he's still doing. That's what he's doing tonight. Make the men sit down in companies. And Mark tells us he made them sit down in hundreds and fifties. There was an order about it. Make them sit down. You're going to feed a crowd. Make them sit down. It makes for easier distribution. And God has ordained that Christians should meet together to share the bread of life. That we should feed on the Word of God. And who does he use to feed? Well, he took the bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples. I imagine that little fella, we're not told too much about him, he might have said, well, you're not getting my bread. Are you kidding? All you folks come, you didn't have enough forethought to bring anything. And he said, Mother packed this little lunch for me and says, that's my lunch. Just forget about it. I'm not sharing anything. But he didn't do that. And the Bible doesn't tell us, but I like to think he volunteered. And he said, you need some bread? He says, I've got a little bit. Wasn't much. He says, you can have it. And they brought that to the disciples of the Lord, and the Lord gave thanks for it. And then he told the disciples to feed the multitudes. That's our job. He's passed the bread of life on to us. He's given us a great commission. He says, go feed the multitudes. You've got the bread. Now share it. Go feed the multitudes. Go and make disciples of all nations. When the Lord Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, he didn't only pray for his 12 disciples. Those were the ones that he had won to himself. Those were the ones that he commissioned to go into all the world and preach the gospel. But he prayed for those that the disciples were going to reach. He said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word. The bread that met their needs, they were going to pass on to others. 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. And then the Lord Jesus took it, and he divided, I don't know, they didn't get very much, 5 little fish. 5 little loaves, rather, and 2 little fish. Didn't have much. I imagine that each of those apostles didn't even have a good handful. He didn't put a big gunny sack on their back weighing about 300 pounds and say, here, you carry it. This is your load to carry. Just gave them the little bit that was in the hand. And I imagine those burly fishermen like Peter and James and John, they looked at that and said, are you kidding? That's not going to feed anybody. And they said, I'm hungry. I've been here and I'm starved. That's just a good mouthful. And they could have just eaten it themselves. But they didn't make the men sit down in company. And you take this bread that I blessed. It's got my blessing on it. And God has promised to bless his word. He has said, my word shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. It will be bread to the eater. Everybody that feeds on God's word, they got food in it. And it will be seed to the sower. Not only can it bless you, but you can pass it on to others. You can sow the seed. Paul says, he that soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he that soweth abundantly shall reap also abundantly. And as these disciples, I can see them going around, would you like some bread, fish, help yourself? It didn't get any smaller. It just kept multiplying. It kept multiplying. As they passed it about, it just kept increasing. And that's exactly what God's word says. There is that which scatters and yet increases. And there is that which holdeth more than is proper and intended to poverty. The best way to keep it is to keep giving it away. The best way to lose it is to just keep it for yourself.
There's an expression that is found three times over in the Acts of the Apostles. It says, the word of God grew and increased. Well, how can the word of God grow? The living word, and the way it grows internally, and it grows externally. It grows in you. They grew in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. As they fed on the word of God, they grew. And as they shared it with others, others were brought into the blessing. It grew internally and it grew externally. Philip said, everyone may take a little. When the Lord multiplied those five loaves and two fishes, it says, they took just as much as they were. That little boy that had given his little in the hands of Christ, he never had it for this. He had the biggest meal he's ever had. Those little buns and two small fishes, why, for a growing boy, that's just about kind of starvation diet. I remember when our son Brent would come home when he was about 14 or 15 from school, the first thing he would do, he would go into the refrigerator and he would make five sandwiches. Jelly and peanut butter, one on top of the other. I said, that kid gonna eat all of that? He did. When you're a growing teenager, you've got an appetite that won't quit. And this little boy, he had as much as he would. And the Lord says, give and it shall be given you. The more you give it away, the better you keep it. John Wesley, the great Methodist preacher, said, what I gave, I have. But what I kept, I lost. I used to wonder how my brother and I, we were in business together for a number of years, how in the world he remembered so many jokes. But I learned the secret a long time ago how he did it. A person came in the morning and told him a joke that he thought was good. The next five customers, if he had a chance, they heard the same story. He kept giving it away. And that's how he kept it. The more you give it away, the more you keep it. And then there was a saved portion. It says that when they were filled, because God wants everyone that feeds on the bread of life to be satisfied. When they were filled, the Lord Jesus said, gather up the fragments that remain. For while our God is a God of abundance, he is not a God of waste. He gives liberally, the Bible says, to all men. 1 Timothy chapter 6, we read, that we're not to trust in uncertain riches, but in God, who giveth us richly all things to make us miserable. You remember that? He gives us richly all things to enjoy. If there's one thing God wants, it's his people to be happy. If we're not happy, we're a poor advertisement for him. The psalmist says, happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. And you can be sure that these people were so well fed, they were happy. Businessmen have learned that long ago. You know, if you feed somebody, they're relatively happy. They take you out to lunch, you know, and they give you a good meal. And then they give you the business proposal after that. They get you in the right attitude by feeding you well. And God feeds his people. He wants them to be satisfied. What the disciples were able to do, the Lord allowed them to do. He accepted the five loaves and the two fishes, what the little boy was able to give. He accepted that. He used the disciples to seat the people in companies. And he's still doing that. All over this world, God's people are seated in company tonight or today, or whatever they may be, whether it's morning, noon, or night. There are people throughout the world gathered in company such as this to listen to the Word of God, to be fed by the Word of God. God still seats his people in company. And he uses his disciples to feed the people, and he uses his disciples to distribute the food. But he is the food. He's the only one that can satisfy the cravings of the human heart. The Lord Jesus crossed the Sea of Galilee, we learn in this chapter, and when he got on the other side, the people came seeking him. And he said to them, he says, you seek me not because of the miracle that I did. That's not the reason. But because, he said, ye ate of the loaves and were filled, they were far more interested in satisfying their physical needs than their spiritual needs. And people are still that way today. They're more interested in providing food on the table, literal food on the table, than the spiritual food that satisfies the craving of man's eternal soul. And to these the Lord Jesus said, labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which lasts unto eternal life. That's the food that you need. Where do we put our emphasis? God's word speaks to those, he says, they're enemies of the cross of Christ, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame. The very things they're boasting in, he says they should be ashamed of. Whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. And then he says this to the believer. But our citizenship is in heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, who shall change these bodies of our humiliation and fashion them like unto his own body of glory. Many years ago, my father was in the prison in Wisconsin, not for any crime that he committed. He was in prison to preach the gospel. And having preached the gospel to the various prisoners who were there, they went around to the various cells in the cell block and started giving out gospel papers, tracts. He came to this fellow, this particular man, he says, I don't want that. I don't want that. He says, I'm no goat. I don't eat paper. My dad said, I didn't ask it either. It's something for you to read. He said, I don't want it. He says, the filth that they feed you here in this prison isn't fit for a pig to eat. Well, he said, my advice to you is don't eat it. I don't know any law in Wisconsin that says you have to eat a meal. Not against the law, not the east. He said, yeah. But he said, if I don't eat, I'll die. And he said, yes, if you do eat, you'll die. Someday, you're going to take your last meal. What then? You see, it isn't important how long you live here. The Lord Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The whole world. Boy, I got it in my hand, but your soul. What about that? The Lord Jesus said, I am the true bread that came down from heaven. All that, the bread, oh, they boasted, they said, boy, you want to do some miracle? You just fed these 5,000 people, that's peanuts. Moses, he fed 2 million to 3 million people all during those wilderness journeys. And yes, the Lord said, what happened to them? Their carcasses fell in the wilderness. They're all dead. Any of them living? They're all dead. But he says, he that eateth the bread that I give him shall live forever. What is all earth's days, 60, 70, 80 years, or whatever we spend here, compared with eternity? All of us are going to spend eternity somewhere. Many of us are wasting our lives with things that are of no value, no lasting value. We have the bread of life. And the Lord Jesus, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger and never thirst. And he made a wonderful statement Because all that the Father giveth me will come to me. They're all coming. And all that ever comes of the Lord Jesus are God's gifts to his Son. It's God's reward, if I can put it that way, to his Son for his sacrificial work at the cross. The prophet says, he shall see of the fruit of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. It was worth it all, Father. The cup which my Father has given me shall not drink it, he drank it. That it's worth it all. All the sacrifice. Being made sin, that men might be made the righteous of God in him, it was worth it all. He shall see of the fruit of the travail of his soul. That shall be satisfied. All that the Father giveth him will come to me. We don't know who they all are, but God knows. And you can, if you're one that's among that number, for the Lord Jesus said in the next phrase, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He says, not only will he receive you, he says he will never reject you. The moment you trust Christ as your Savior, you know that you're in. Nothing, neither death nor life, shall ever be able to separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus the Lord. In this chapter, the Lord says, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Was he asking them to be cannibals? No, indeed. Because he says, those, verily I say to you, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. Is that what you have to do? Eat and drink the blood of the Son of God to have eternal life? Yes. You have to make him really your own. No one ever had greater assurance of salvation than the dying thief on the cross. But every individual under heaven can have equal assurance. Listen to these words of the Lord Jesus. The same one that said, who eats the Son of flesh of the Son of Man, drinks his blood, has his life. And who he says? In John 6 and 47, verily, verily, I say unto you, who is speaking? The Son of God, the one with whom it is impossible to lie. I say to you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. And if you have that life everlasting, the Lord would ask us to share the wonderful message of life. The bread, he says, is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. He has given his life in order that anyone and everyone in this world could be saved. But only those who trust him will be. May God grant, if you're not saved, you'll trust the Savior, and then by God's grace, seek to share the bread of life with others. Shall we pray? Our Father, we're thankful for these words of the Lord Jesus. I am the bread of life. There is no other. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby anyone can be saved. So it's simple, and yet it's difficult. It's simple because thou hast made thy salvation available to all without money and without price, just simply on the basis of trusting the Lord Jesus. And yet it's difficult because there are so many things that we throw up as roadblocks in the way of coming to him. We pray that tonight there's one here earnestly seeking the Savior. They may come and come with the assurance of his word, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. We ask this blessing, commending thy word to thee and thanking thee for our time together. In the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.